right? So let's turn over to Luke chapter 1. We were in Luke chapter 2 this morning, attending a church. My wife and I were with some relatives many years back around Christmas time, and we heard a great message on the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it was during that message that a particular phrase was emphasized by the preacher out of this text we're about to read in just a second. And it shot right to my heart. Boy, it really spoke to me, and I was blessed by it. And I just want to tell you, that's how important it is to be at the church house when the Word of God is being preached. See, if you miss out on a church meeting, you have no idea what you really missed. Because perhaps it is some blessing God intended for you to hear out of His Word that you didn't hear that night because you decided to sit out of church. And so there I was, my wife and I, and we heard this preaching, and this particular phrase spoke to my heart. And had I not been in church that night, guess what? I would have never heard of that. I would have never heard that preaching that night. So I want us to look here in Luke chapter 1. I want to share it with you. And if we'll stand one more time for the reading of God's Word, I know you were just standing. We want to give respect to the Word of God. In Luke chapter number 1, verse number 28, don't worry, I'm only going to read one verse, and then we'll have a word of prayer in just a moment. But notice what the Bible says in verse 28. This is speaking to Mary. Once again, an angel. And the Bible says, and the angel came in under her and said, "Hail, thou that are highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And I want you to pay particular attention in this statement here by this angel to two words: highly favored. I want you to think about that. Highly favored. I want us to take some time tonight. Perhaps many of us are moaning and groaning in the midst of our hallelujahs, in the midst of maybe our I'm just here attitudes. And I want to tell you from the Word of God that you are highly favored. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this passage of Scripture here, just a blessed announcement to Mary, how highly favored she was in your sight. And Lord, I understand that I'm highly favored, and I believe all these folks here are highly favored, and for that we can rejoice. And I pray, Lord, we just realize how highly favored we truly are. Help us to understand that this night. And Lord, I pray, Father, perhaps we'd be able to speak to somebody else about how wonderful our God is to us and how blessed our Lord is to us. Father, help us in this area. And we ask all these things in your Son's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, there's a so-called scientific term that in our day has gotten some resurgent, unfortunately, among scientists and some astrologers, and it's called this, the Copernican principle. Now, I'm just going to take a poll here real quick. How many tonight, by raise of hand, know what the Copernican principle is? Will you raise your hand? Absolutely nobody. Praise the Lord. I thought there'd be at least one teacher in here that'd be like, oh yeah, I've heard of that. Well, I'm going to tell you what it is. Many perhaps have never heard of the Copernican principle, but it was named after a guy by the name of Nicholas Copernicus, an individual who lived in the 15th century. And it basically states this, that our Earth is of no significance in light of the vast cosmos all around us. As a matter of fact, you and I are nothing more than a speck of dirt that contains nothing stellar, because certainly with the vastness of the universe and the cosmos around us, you and I are just a statistical happenstance. And so when you think about that, that Copernican principle, you dwell on that, boy, you could walk away being depressed, couldn't you? Thinking that, hey, we're just here on accident and there's nothing really important about us, nothing special about us in the universe. And we could say this, it is true, isn't it? The Earth is kind of small when you think about it in relation to the planets in our galaxy. As a matter of fact, if you've ever had a chance to look out into the night sky away from the lights of the city, you'll look up, and if you get a chance to do that, you'll understand that there's almost so many stars in the sky, it almost looks like a blanket of white across the sky because there's so many stars. And I'm reminded in the book of Genesis that God creates the heavens and the earth, and he does all these things, And it says this, and he created the stars also. Just a few words that the Lord uses for all this vastness that we see around us. Quite amazing. Can you imagine Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus, perhaps here in this moment, there she is in Nazareth, and though thousands of years removed from you and I, she's looking up at the very same night sky that you and I look up each and every night. Perhaps it was on this particular night that she's looking up on a clear night. Perhaps it was on this night that the angel by the name of Gabriel came to her and told her this wonderful statement, "Mary, you are highly favored." Can you imagine that? Of course, in the context of her passage, Mary was certainly blessed among women with the privilege of birthing our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know this, that all the Jewish women of that day would pray and would, with intent, want, with desire to be the one who birthed the Christ or birthed the Messiah. And of course, they had a failed understanding of who the Messiah would be. But listen, all the Jewish girls who understood the Old Testament scriptures and the prophecies understood that there was a king coming. They believed he would be a political reformer, but they understood there was a Messiah coming, a Savior coming that would restore Israel to her former provenance and glory. And all the young Jewish girls thought, maybe it would be me. Maybe I'd be the one. And I'm certainly not here tonight to diminish Mary's role in the life of our Lord. But I want you to understand this evening that you and I, particularly if you're saved, I want you to understand this and be encouraged. You are highly favored. You understand that? And I'm going to give you some things tonight just to point this out. But let me begin by reading you an Old Testament passage in Deuteronomy chapter number 7 and verse 6 through 9. It tells us concerning the nation of Israel how it is that God loved them and blessed them. But notice what God says to the nation of Israel. He says, "For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be special people unto himself above all the people upon the face of the earth." Now he says, "The Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you are the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you. And because he would keep the oath which he has sworn to his fathers, had the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Now therefore, that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." You see, this quote from Deuteronomy illustrates this fact that even Israel, God's special, peculiar nation, was not chosen because of their merit, but rather they were chosen because of God's divine love that he has for us. In other words, if you're taking note, I'm going to give you three truths. In other words, we could say it this way, that God has chosen to love us. God has chosen to love us. And I want to give you three very quick points here to illustrate how highly favored we are. Number one, if you're taking notes, man in general is highly favored. Man in general is highly favored. You know, the psalmist understood this in Psalm chapter 8 and verse number 4. The psalmist said this, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him?" Think of this. God minds us. God pays attention to us. God has his eyes upon us. I'm encouraged by the fact that God sees us and he knows us. Do you understand, number one, that earth was obviously created to sustain life? The earth's distance from the sun is exactly where it needs to be. In fact, if we were farther away from the sun, it'd be too cold. If we're closer to the sun, it'd be too hot. But the fact is that the earth is exactly where it needs to be. You know, the earth's position in our entire solar system is just right. There's a characteristic of our planet, like its ability to reflect light, called the albedo, is just right. The albedo of the earth, if you didn't know, is about 30%, meaning this, that 30% of the sunlight that reaches the planet is reflected back into space, while the remaining 70% is absorbed by the planet. You say, "Pastor James, why is that important?" So we don't all burn up. That's why it's important. You know, the gravitational properties of our planet, what allows us to have atmosphere, this thing called oxygen, oh, by the way, that we need to be able to breathe, is exactly where it needs to be. You know, our planets in our solar system, like Jupiter, is the solar system's vacuum cleaner, is exactly where it needs to be. In other words, the reason we have Jupiter there and where it is as the vacuum cleaner, so comets and asteroids and different things don't rain fire down on our planet, Jupiter is exactly where it needs to be. You know, the moon's size and distance from the Earth is exactly where it needs to be for the tides and those cycles that we have. Friends, any of these factors not being exactly right would cause you and I not to exist. God's creation of the earth, we find, is in support of not just sustaining life, but human life. And so we see that earth obviously was created to sustain life. But then secondly, I want you to realize this, that man has a favored position in God's creation. Think about the gospel message, the good news that you and I find our comfort in. The Bible tells us in Romans 5:8, listen carefully, but God commendeth or demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Do you realize that wonderful truth is so significant and amazing that the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 12 that the angels are looking into the things that take place here in the church house and with this matter of salvation. The angels are looking at us, friends, and they're wondering about God's grace and his mercy and this matter of salvation and how it is that God has sent his glorious son to save you and I, which are only sinners saved by God's grace through faith. And we think of this, angels are looking in amazement at all that God's doing and all his glory, and it is emphasized in you and I. And according to 1 Corinthians 6:3 and Psalm 8:5, those who are saints, if you're a child of God, if you're saved, even though you're made little lower than the angels, the Bible declares this, that we'll even judge angels one day. I don't know, it doesn't make sense to me whatsoever. We've done nothing to earn a favored position with God, according to Romans 5:8 and Isaiah 64 and verse 6. There's nothing favorable in us whatsoever. As a matter of fact, one of the very conditions for you and I to receive Christ as our Savior is to recognize that fact, to recognize that there's nothing in me that would grant God to save me in an unsaved state. And yet God has given us a favored position in his creation. And I want you to meditate on that. I want you to think on that this Christmas season, that God has you in a favored position. You and I are truly blessed. Imagine if it was that God had caused you or I to cease the very first time that we sinned against him. Boy, I think all of us right here would be gone, wouldn't we, if that was the case? You see, man in general is highly favored. Earth's creation, and we see that God has man highly favored as God's special creation. But number two, I want you to realize this. Man who is saved is highly favored. Man who is saved is highly favored. Do you realize that if you're sitting here as a saved, born-again child of God, that God has highly favored you? I think sometimes we may get the idea of this, that God is obligated to save us because of who we are. In fact, I've known some people over the years, boy, they're so full of pride. They're like, boy, God got a good one when he got me. And boy, they think they think God got blessed by getting them, you know. And you know what? The truth is that the only obligation that the Lord has towards us is the fact that he loves us. That's the only obligation that God has, is his loving choice towards us. And the Bible tells us that blessed verse in John 3:16, it spells it out. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should what? Not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, realize this, because God loves you and me, number one, he drew you unto himself. Do you understand that? The Bible says in John 6:44, no man can come to me, this is Jesus speaking, except the Father which has sent him, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. This is a miraculous thing that occurs when the Holy Spirit of God enlightens the sinner and draws him to the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 12, 32, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me." Not only did God draw you unto himself, number two, realize this, that God revealed the gospel to you. It is the truth that you didn't come to an understanding of who the Lord Jesus is on your own. 1 Corinthians 2, 14 tells us this, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned." You know, there's not one of us that can claim that we walked outside one night, we looked up into the sky, and we discerned our Savior, Lord Jesus, in the sky. Not one of us could say that. In fact, it is the truth that someone came to you and preached the gospel to you, whether they gave you a gospel tract, whether they spoke to you verbally, whether you listened to it on the radio, whether you heard it on a podcast, somebody gave the good news to you. How do we know this? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then the Holy Spirit of God at that moment enlightened your carnal mind to understand your sinfulness and your need of a Savior. John 16, 8 illustrates this when Jesus revealed to his disciples the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said this, he stated, "And when he," that's the Holy Spirit, "is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." You know, the Holy Spirit of God reveals our sinfulness, Jesus' righteousness, and the impending judgment one day because of sin. We could say this thirdly, that we're truly blessed as a child of God, because we realize this, that God protected you. You understand that before you got saved, God protected you. He allowed you to continue. He allowed you to get by. We understand that God holds life and death in his hands. 1 Samuel 2:6 says this, "The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and he bringeth up." Ecclesiastes 8:8 says this, "There is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver them that are given to it." You know, Paul, in speaking to the religious crowd in Athens, stated in Acts chapter 17, verse 28, "For in him," that's God, "we live," that means have our very breath, "and move and have our being, as certain also of your poets have said, for we are also his offspring." How many times through the years could you have lost your physical life, and yet God protected you before you got saved? I hear story after story of folks that says, "I know God protected me until I heard the gospel. God protected me. God kept me safe." And we realize this, but then fourthly, realize this, that God had mercy on you. God had mercy on you. You know, we can look around and see many today who have yet to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, just like you and I were at one time. And yet God is continuing to show his mercy towards that person. There's many people that are raising their fists against God, and God still allows them to continue day after day after day. Why? The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some man count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the reason why. You see, before we trusted in Christ, the Bible declares that we existed in a state of enmity. Now, we don't use that word today, but that simply means this. We're enemies with God. We were full of ill will and hatred. We were in an unfriendly state towards God. And the Bible says this. It says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 7, "Because the carnal mind is enmity," or at war, "against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be." You see, God had mercy on you. He did not give you what you deserved. And I'm reminded of many accounts where we see the severity of God. Think about Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter number 5. Now, old Ananias came in, and you remember he came to the altar, and he spoke to Peter, and he says, I'm giving all that I've got. I'm giving it all. And of course, he lied, as Peter said, to the Holy Spirit of God. And you'll remember what happened. God struck him, and he fell down dead right before that altar. The men, young men came in, and Peter said, "Bound him up." They bind him up, and they wheeled him off. And just an hour later, guess who comes in? Old Sapphira, his dear wife. And by the way, husband's wife, you ought to come to church together. Here's why. You're going to miss out, right? So old Sapphira comes in, and she comes in, and she comes up to the altar and said, I've given it all, just like her dear husband said. And see, they agreed to lie to the Holy Spirit of God. And guess what God did? He struck her dead as well. They wind her up, and the same men took her out that took her husband out. I'm reminded of Nadab and Abihu. You remember the count of Leviticus chapter 10, Aaron's sons, and here they are. They're just beginning out. They're just starting out. They're just beginning to minister in the tabernacle. Hey, I don't know about you, but I read the book of Leviticus. There's a whole lot of laws and regulations and things they had to remember, and they had to just cross all their T's just right and dot all their I's just right. And you can't imagine all the weight of that. And here, Nadab and Abihu, they offered strange fire before the Lord. You know what happened to them? They're struck dead. You think about that. I am thinking about Joshua chapter 7 and Achan. Now Achan went in, the great battle of Jericho, and boy, they go in, and all Achan did was take a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And it was the accursed thing. And you know what happened to him? He was stoned to death before the children of Israel. Hey, even worse than that, church member, think about the man who was gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. Can you imagine if we started taking church members out and stoning them? Amen. Listen, here's the thing. The severity of God, the goodness of God, the severity of God. Romans chapter 11, verse 22 says, behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God. On them which fell severity, talking about Israel, but towards thee goodness, talking about the Gentiles, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. Friends, I'm just trying to tell you that if you're a saved, born-again Christian, God had mercy on you. And he continues to have mercy on those that are not saved. Up until this point, I think you and I should be very encouraged. We should be uplifted, realizing that we're highly favored in the sight of God. But now I want you to realize something further. Number three, if you're taking notes, Mary was in a position to be highly favored. Mary was in a position to be highly favored. Now, here's where we get to application, church family. And I want you to think about this. Yes, you're highly favored just being as a human being. There's no doubt. Yes, you're highly favored because you're a child of God. There's no doubt about that. But my question for you tonight, are you in a position to be highly favored like Mary was? Let me give you a couple of things about Mary. Number one, Mary was a virgin. This means this. She was pure. Mary was pure. Now, purity, friends, means this, that you're free from foreign substance. In simplest terms, I'll ask it this way. Is there a mixture of light and darkness in your life? You know, Jesus said one time, if the darkness be in your eye, how dark is it? How full of your body is full of darkness? And I'm here to tell you, friend, you can't serve both the devil and the Lord. You can't do it. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, listen carefully. What concord hath Christ with Belial? In other words, with evil and with Christ, is there any handshaking going on? Is there any concord that's taking place there? What part hath he that believeth with the infidel? And I'm going to speak to the young folks. I know there's a few in here this evening. Listen, there's some friends you need to part ways with. If you're a child of God and your friend's an infidel, you need a witness to them, no doubt, but they ought not to be your very, very, very best friend. You understand what I'm saying? And so what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God? And by the way, guess who the temple of God is? If you're a Christian, raise your hand. Go ahead and raise your hand. Don't be ashamed. If you're a Christian, you're the temple of God. The Holy Spirit of God dwells inside of you. So listen. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? In other words, anything that usurps God's rightful place in your life. What agreement is there? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Could I say that it's clear from the word of God that if you have a lack of purity in your life, that will not place you in a position to be highly favored of God, but rather it's going to result in this, instability and a lack of fellowship with the Lord. James 4:8 tells us the antidote to this. You want to know what it is? Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Perhaps today you're wondering where all the bountiful blessings have gone upon your life. Maybe there's some that are here today that need to cleanse their hearts because they have some foreign mixture going on. Ask the Lord to reveal that to you. And if that's the case, humbly come before him and repent and ask for forgiveness and enjoy restored fellowship with the Lord Jesus. So we see Mary was pure, but then secondly, note this, Mary was humble. Mary was humble. As Matthew Henry commented based on her text, Mary is confounded as to why God would look at her and call her highly favored. And might I say this, you and I ought to be the same way. We ought to be confounded. Why is it that God would look at me and say, hey, you are highly favored? When is the last time that you thank God for being so good to you because you realize you didn't deserve it? The truth is that most of the grumblings that you and I have in our life have to do with our pride. We look at our situation, we look at what's going on to us, and we think we deserve something different. And while we play that game in our mind, we forget about God's sovereignty, and instead of being humble, we're filled with pride. Friends, a lack of humility is a sure way to remove yourself from being highly favored. James 4:6 says this, listen carefully, "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble." You see, the blessing side of that verse is the humble side. The grace side of that verse is the humble side. The resistance side is when those who well up in pride and say, boy, I deserve different than this. It's all about me. The very truth is repeated by the Apostle Paul, Peter, 1 Peter 5:5. He says, "Likewise, ye younger," listen, younger, "ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you," listen carefully, "be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble." The Lord Jesus Christ tells us in Matthew 18:4, "Whosoever there shall for humble himself as a little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Humility means this, to be brought low. It means seeing yourself as you truly are, now listen, in the presence of a holy God. That is the definition of humility. Some folks get a reverse humility and they walk around and say, woe is me, I'm nothing, I'm worthless, I'm a nobody. And that's a reverse form of pride, friends. Listen, you get in the presence of God and you will have humility because you'll see yourself in the light of his glorious grace. You'll see yourself in the light of his presence. My friend, when you realize your own sinfulness, your baseness, your own limitations, and see our God and Savior high, holy, and lifted up, then your attitude will be just as it needs to be. Not only was Mary highly favored because she was pure and humble, but then lastly, number three, Mary was submissive. What a tremendous example the Lord has given to us in this young lady. The Bible tells us, look here in verse number 38, speaking to the angel, it says, "And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." Can you imagine Mary submitting herself to this? Now, she fully understood the implications of having a child, being a virgin, being betrothed to Joseph. I guarantee you, she knew what she was in for. But here she says to the angel of the Lord, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord." That word that's used by Mary, handmaid, that simply means this. She says, "God, I'm a female slave. I am a female slave unto you. I am a bond slave unto you." Mary says, in effect, "God, I'm all yours. No restrictions, no lines in the sand. As a matter of fact, I'm dead to self." As we see Mary's humility and submissive attitude towards God, we realize that Mary understood this. It was not all about her, but rather it was about him. It was about God. 1 Corinthians 6:20 tells us this, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." And by the way, if somebody ever comes up to you and says, "Well, God knows my heart. What they're trying to sell you is a wooden nickel. You know, the wooden nickel's worth nothing. Listen, God's interested in both your body and what's going on in here. He wants all of it. You understand? And so as we close, I pray you realize this night that you are highly favored, friend. We saw, first of all, that man in general is highly favored. Certainly we could say this, man who is saved is highly favored. But lastly, we find that Mary was in a position to be highly favored. Why? Number one, she was pure. Number two, she was humble. And then lastly, we see this, that Mary was submissive to the Lord. I wonder, as we close this evening, are you in a position to be highly favored? Not just because you're a human being, not just because you've trusted in Christ as your Savior. You know, every year around this time, Christians all around the world read about this blessed truth. They read about how God blessed Mary in an unusual way. Why? Because she submitted herself to the Lord. Why? Because she was a pure girl. Why? Because she was humble in the sight of the Lord. Why? Because she was willing to do what God asked her to do. Friend, are you in a position to be highly favored of God? We're told that this gospel message, which includes this passage concerning Mary, is the everlasting gospel. You know what that means? That means for all of eternity, this story of redemption, this story about Mary, will forever be recounted. Revelation 14:6 says this, "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, to every nation and kindred and tongue and people." I think we can all agree, Mary certainly was highly favored, wasn't she? I don't know about you, but I want to be found in that way as well, in the way of purity, in the way of humility, and in the way of submission unto the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer.